You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
Drink it in, man.
Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
The love that was given me, and this time I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this hard time blues.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
And I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
Now can you dig that, sucker?
Welcome into yet another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling news and commentary. I am your wrestling fan, your host, Al John Go, and thank you so much for downloading this audio and subscribing to our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and giving us those thumbs up and five-star reviews and all that great jazz. Now, Steven, the other co-host of this program, and I recorded a show, and we had some technical difficulties, so we're going to try to address all of the goings-on in next week's episode. And I'm talking about releases, I'm talking about different pay-per-view matches and things of that nature, okay? So, we're going to deal with that on next week's episode. Oh, and let me also say, I hope you had a great October 31st, Halloween. All right, so this episode was supposed to come out during Halloween, but it's coming out a little late. Now, having said that, I do have some audio that I was going to release during our hiatus before we came back, and just so happened I have this audio. I did attend the C2E2 Chicago Comic Arts and Entertainment Expo. It happens every year, and they always have great wrestling there. You know, Chicago is an awesome town for wrestling fans. Always have great experiences there, meet so many wrestling superstars, get autographs, and attend panels, and things of that nature. And I attended AJ Lee, also known as AJ Mendez Brooks. And she had a book coming out earlier this year called Crazy Is My Superpower. It's a great read. You need to check it out. And she's very open, very candid in this panel audio that I captured. Thank you to our friends at Read Pop for always inviting us to cover all things pop, pop culture, comic books, sci-fi, and of course professional wrestling. So we appreciate that, as they do every single year as we cover it for my other Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel podcasts and blogs. So thank you so much for that. So having said that, let's go ahead and play you some of this great audio of AJ Mendez Brooks, also known as AJ Lee, promoting her book, being very candid about her time in the WWE and her fans. And before we get into that, the promo of the week, we'll go ahead and fire this off early on in the program. It's going to be a pipe bomb. You know, AJ ended up marrying CM Punk. Go figure, right? And she had a very colorful, albeit short, run in the WWE. At least I believe it could have gone on a little bit longer had CM Punk decided he wanted to stay. But AJ ended up staying a little bit longer after CM Punk had left the WWE. I can only imagine it was difficult for her to continue being on the roster while all of this stuff going on in legal litigation and accusations had been swirling around, knowing that she was married to former WWE superstar that had so much heat with The Office. However, just like CM Punk did, delivered a pipe bombshell, if you will, a pipe bomb type of promo, she did the same thing. And this was in 2013, I believe it was the August 26th Raw, and she blasts the stars of Total Divas. Believe this was leading to a Diva versus Diva team match that was going to take place at a upcoming. But anyway, so here we are. We have AJ Lee going off on this whole crew of Total Divas. So enjoy a promo of the week brought to you by our good friends at Amazon.com. Don't forget to check out Amazon and click our banner, because there you can support the show and get all of the great goods and services that Amazon can provide. And you would be helping out this program. So you want great stuff for the holidays? You know, the holidays right around the corner. Click the banner before you even type Amazon in your browser. Go ahead, go to ProWrestlingCast.com, click our link, and every time you do that, before shopping on Amazon, Amazon will kick us a few cents back. It's almost like putting a little tip in the tip jar because of all the great content you get from us for free every single week here at Pro Wrestling Cast. So without any further ado, enjoy AJ Lee's Pipe Bomb and enjoy the Reed Pop panel from C2E2 from this year, this week's star of the show, AJ Lee, a.k.a. AJ Mendez Brooks, promoting Crazy Is My Superpower right here on the program. Enjoy.
Pro Wrestling Cast, promo of the week.
OMG, you guys. I just watched last night's episode of Total Divas, and it was insane. Oh my gosh. I mean, the Bellas were dealing with their obvious daddy issues. The Funkadactyls broke up and then got back together again. Natalia's fiance isn't much of a man. The other two were also there. It was great. It really was. And it was the end of the world. And it's only Sunday nights on the E! Network. See when I look in that ring, honestly, a bunch of cheap, interchangeable, expendable, useless women. Women who have turned to reality television because they just weren't gifted enough to be actresses. And they just weren't talented enough to be champion. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers. I have saved your Divas division. I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. Why? So a bunch of ungrateful, stiff plastic mannequins can waltz on through without even as much as a thank you?
You just skip! You just skip!
You guys can't even go backstage and shake my hand and look me in the eye because you know that I worked my entire life to get here. I gave my life to this, and you were just handed 15 minutes of fame. Get here because I was cute, or because I came from some famous wrestling family, or because I sucked up to the right people. I got here because I am good. I earned this championship, and no matter how many red carpets you guys want to walk in your $4,000 ridiculous heels, you will never be able to lace up my Chuck Taylors. You are all worthless excuses for women, and you will never be able to touch me. And that is reality.
Whoa. If you don't think women are explosive, try dropping one. Just try dropping one.
Obviously, the Divas champion a bit upset with the amount of fame that the stars of Total Divas have received over the past couple of weeks.
I'm enjoying my weekend so far, and let me tell you, I'm
super excited about our next guest. Any wrestling fans in the house? Let's not delay. Please welcome to the stage, AJ Mendez Brooks! Come on, AJ! Come on out here, girl!
Long runway!
I know, it is a long runway, but you know, you can work it or you can choose not to. It's totally up to you.
This is like the tallest heel I could ever wear in my entire life, and so if I tried to work it, I would die.
You're usually a Chucks girl, I've noticed. And I like that about you.
Thank you. There's
so much to cover with you. You're such a fascinating person. But let's start with your book. I'm so impressed with your writing. This is, if you guys haven't seen, Crazy Is My Superpower is AJ's new book. It debuted number 10 on the bestseller list for nonfiction, which is amazing for a first-time author. Yes. And it's really interesting. About 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, you finished up your wrestling career, and your character was often, you know, viewed as a little bit unhinged and maybe a little bit crazy. The great thing about, you know, revealing yourself through this book is you realize there are parallels between the real AJ and what the wrestling audience grew to know with the character. So can you kind of, like, start there in discussing how you tied those together and what made you want to write this book at this moment in time?
Yeah, so by like some weird twist of fate, I ended up as the crazy chick on TV. And no one really knew that I, in real life, was bipolar and that it was in my family. And so it felt like I was hiding in plain sight and kind of got to live out like the fantasy of, okay, you know, what is the worst instinct I have with my disorder? You know, like how crazy and bratty and selfish and unhinged can I get? Let's do that on live TV. So it was a weird form of like therapy. And so when I knew I was wrapping up my career, I thought it was time to come out of hiding and, you know, tell people, okay, I would meet these fans at like autograph signings and they would say, I connect to you because, you know, I've gone through a depression, or, you know, I feel crazy and I feel different and you're different too. So for me, it was like a way to confirm that, okay, like you're connecting to me because I am different and you were right. And I've just been hiding this thing.
And it wasn't just the character was drawn from your own life experiences.
Yeah, it definitely was amplified from those.
Yeah, in some ways. There's a quote on the inside of the jacket that I just want to read because it's really profound, and it goes like this. Everything I was told should be my greatest insecurities and weaknesses. Everything that I'd been labeled short, nerdy, skinny, weak, impulsive, ugly, tomboy, poor, rebel, loud, freak, or crazy turned out to be my greatest strengths. I didn't become successful in spite of them. I became successful because of them. How did you learn at such a young age to embrace that concept?
To me, I always say when the world denies your value, that will either break you or it will just light a fire under your butt to prove everyone wrong. Mm-hmm. And so from a really young age, the world kept telling me no and kept telling me, okay, you are too poor. You can't go to this prestigious school, or you won't get out of this small town. And then, you know, you're too tiny to be a wrestler. And even in this endeavor, you know, you were a wrestler. How are you going to be a writer now? And so it's always kind of been like one obstacle after the other. And I kind of thrive off that because I refuse to let that break me. I just like the challenge.
What was the process? The chapters in this book are so well-defined, and I really do encourage everyone to pick up a copy because it's so well-written, and if you're an AJ fan, you're just going to love it. But how did you hone down from, you know, your 30 years to pick the chapters and which moments you were going to discuss and define?
I wanted it to be, like, not like every year of my life, but every, like, formative year in my life. And I wanted to have these moments that were, like, here's every time I've just thought I was completely broken and I lost. You know, here are all my big L's. And then eventually they started becoming W's. And to me, that was the most interesting thing, was that you can fail over and over and over again. You can be a rock bottom and you can get to the top of whatever field it is you want to enter. So for me, I kind of wanted to track those, the moments that hurt the most, I guess. And there's definitely a lot I had to cut out because there's, you know, been some other ones that, were rough. But those will go in book two.
Yeah, those will be in the sequel. There's a really interesting Madison Square Garden discussion that happens, and I just wondered if you could share that with the audience, because I'm not sure everybody would know the backstory of that significance.
Yeah, so when I was 16, 17, we didn't grow up with, like, much money, but so my dad saved as much money as he could for, like, a year because he knew there was going to be a wrestling show around my birthday at Madison Square Garden. And it just happened to be WrestleMania 20. We got to the building. We ended up having, like, nosebleed seats. And my dad, like, started crying because, you know, he saved for all this time and he still couldn't really afford that, you know, something that great. And he thought he, like, failed me, I guess. And I just remember, like, looking at him and saying, don't worry. Like, this is awesome. And I'm going to have the best view when I'm in that ring one day. And then 10 years later, WrestleMania 30, I got to walk in and out as the champion.
That's so amazing. So, and did you invite your dad to that?
They were invited. They did not want to come. They don't like to fly.
That's in the next book, too.
That is in book two. But they, you know, they watched it and they were surprised. It was a cool full circle moment for sure.
That is amazing. So writing something like this has to be cathartic on a lot of levels and also probably emotionally draining. What was the writing process and kind of like, what was it like to revisit these moments in your life that had such significance?
To me, I felt like there was, especially the rough parts, were like these like open wounds that I just like kept somewhere in my head and tried not to like look at. Mm-hmm. Because they hurt too much and you try to not think about the pain in your life. But when I was writing this book, I figured, okay, like I need to touch that raw nerve because I can get into that headspace. And even if I'm like crying and writing at my computer and, you know, like crying while eating Thin Mints just to get through it, I'll do that. And it'll make the chapter feel like you're really there and you get those emotions that I was feeling at the time. So it was emotionally draining. I probably like slept for like 2 weeks when I was done. It was like a year of my life. And yeah, it was the hardest thing I've ever done, especially emotionally, but like the most rewarding because I did it on my own.
Well, you're right about one thing. Thin Mints do make everything a little bit better.
They do.
they do help. So let's step away from the writing process of the book for a second, and let's go to what initially attracted you to wrestling. I mean, you're not the prototype. So what drew you to the sport?
As a kid, anything that I could escape into, I gravitated towards. So it started with my brother's comic books. And it went to anime and cartoons and then video games. And then I found wrestling and it was like, oh, these video game characters have come to life. And, you know, I could just put some spandex on and fight crime. And so at 12, I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. I was a very stubborn child.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Strong-willed.
Yeah, that's what I try to tell my parents.
So you at 12, you're looking and you're like identifying with the, you know, escapism of, and also the affiliation to the video games. There's a connection there. And so what was the next step for you?
So the next step was really just to say, okay, here are these people that like I love and adore on the screen. You know, you had Trish and Lita and Ivory and Molly and Jacqueline, and I'm not any of these girls, but they inspire me, so maybe there's a place for me. So the idea was just to, you know, as soon as I was of legal age, was to try it. And then that's, you know, I went to school for a solid 6 months. And when that didn't work out, I started training in wrestling school for 2.5 years and eventually found my way.
And the interesting thing, I mean, your Wikipedia page reads like, I mean, it is like a Game of Thrones episode. There are so many aspects to all the different storylines in wrestling. It's okay. Really hard to connect them if you're not familiar.
Yeah.
How did you sort of come up with your character and what was like the niche that you saw?
So for me, if I had it like my way and if I could have been like what I had dreamed of, I would have been, you know, 7 feet tall and just power bombing chicks. But that wasn't going to happen for me. So I had to work with what I had. So I just figured, you know, if I'm going to be the smallest one and like I have to be the most scrappy and I have to spider monkey on all these girls. And if I can try to look like them, I'm going to fail. Or I can just say, okay, this is what I look like. And there's going to be people that connect to that. So that was a risk. And people told me, you know, no, just keep trying to look better. So I, you know, that was a decision I had to make, was to let's embrace who I am.
Well, and that's exactly what this whole book is about, you know. And what was it like? Were the people who are already in the scene, were they accepting of a newcomer, or was there resistance?
I think at first there was this, it was like really well-intentioned and like adorable, but like there was definitely girls who were like, do you need a dress? Like, can I help you? There was, you know, one girl I talk about in the book that like tried to help me like stuff my bra, and so it's like really sweet. But there was a formula for success, and they were like, "You're not matching the formula. How can we help this?" And my first night on TV, one of the producers actually had to go through all the other girls' luggage to find me something to wear because what I had wasn't good enough. And so like they tried to help, and I just had to say, "No, this is gonna work. Trust me. But just wait."
So when people now talk about sort of the women's revelation in wrestling, and you were obviously such a big part of that movement, what does that mean to you, and how do you sort of view that now from an arm's distance?
It makes you feel like what you fought for something and it happened. Like, okay, I put my life on the line, and so people could have a different future. And it makes you just feel like, oh, okay, mission accomplished, you know? It's hard to be the first one, you know, the first one in line trying to kick down the door, and you don't have that support. But if I could kick down the door now so other people can walk through it, like, that feels really good, and I'm so proud of them.
I love at the end of your book you thank some fictional characters, Buffy Summers, Dana Scully. I mean, what shows were you really attracted to? What, Buffy, I'm assuming, X-Files. What else did you sort of garner this inspiration from?
Well, Alias, you just said Garner, Jennifer Garner.
Yes, that's true.
I always went to the shows, like, and especially when like I was growing up, there weren't a lot of like stronger female role models. It was kind of a few and far between, like, to find a woman that it wasn't just like, oh, relationship drama. Like, I never got that, you know? I was into the girls who were like Buffy, that were kicking butt, or the love of my life, Dana Scully. You know.
Me too.
Oh, seriously.
We have that in common.
Oh, my God. They were the smartest person in the room, and she just happened to be a chick. And came up against so much resistance because she was the smartest person in the room. And everything about her being feminine came like a distant, like, fifth to everything else that was so amazing about her. So that she was completely, that changed my life. I also loved anime, Cowboy Bebop, Inuyasha, Fushigi Yugi. So like, there's a little shout out there for Fushigi Yugi in the book. Yeah, anything that could help me escape.
And it's interesting, earlier when you were talking about, you know, sort of finding comics and then finding video games, you said, my brother's comics.
Yeah.
But now I find there's a lot more, the geek culture is a lot more open in terms of women, content for women, and also content that's not designed specifically for men.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Definitely. And that's a thing. Like, when I was growing up, it was almost like you had to be embarrassed if you were a geek. And, you know, I didn't have stuff like this, you know, where it's like, let's freaking embrace it. And like, and it's like, it's cool now. Like, people are like sort of appropriating the word nerd, and that's a little annoying, but like, there was a shame in it. And it was, especially if you were a woman, it wasn't, you know, normal. And now you have these, you know, you have comics like Saga or like Monstress or Bitch Planet, and they, like, guys and girls can enjoy them, but they definitely like know that there is a female audience. And I love that. I love that the world is just more inclusive.
Absolutely. So the great thing is, you know, all your fans from your wrestling days have followed you now through social media for the last 2 years and are supporting your book, but you've also become somewhat of an advocate and spokesperson for the mental health industry. And I'm wondering if you can just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so sort of unexpectedly, when I was like putting the book together, I realized, okay, the message is not to say, here's all the behind-the-scenes stories of wrestling, because people have done that and done it really well. So for me, it was to just start the conversation about mental health. And I am so honored to work with NAMI, which is the National Alliance for Mental Illness. And I get so much just knowledge from their website. Right now there's a campaign called Stigma Free. If you go to NAMI.org/stigma-free, you can sign up and take the pledge to stop the shame and start the conversation. And I'm also working with the Jed Foundation. And they have, their website is Jed, J-E-D, foundation.org, slash help. And that is more for it's more youth-based. And it's definitely taking a stand against teen suicide. To me, growing up in these formative years when most of mental health has its onset between 14 and 24, you don't know who you are. And when you're starting to have these changes and you feel depressed and you don't know what's happening, you can feel so lost and it's so hard to get through that on your own. So for these organizations to kind of take me in and help me spread that message has been one of the greatest honors of my life.
And, you know, it's really amazing that you are able to do that, because having a large social media following shouldn't just be about, you know, selfies and this and that. It's about, you know, messaging, you know, things that are really important to society. And so I think it's really honorable that that has been one of the voices on your online presence.
Thank you. I think if people are paying attention, say something worthwhile.
Absolutely. Do you guys have questions for AJ? Yeah? If you do, there's two mics that are going to be in the aisles. You can line up there, and while they get themselves organized, let me ask you this. What are you geeking out on television right now? What are you watching?
I watch shows that if I was younger, I would have judged myself for watching.
Of course.
So I love Fargo. I haven't watched the third season, but I'm like, it's on the DVR, and I'm so excited about it. Game of Thrones. Everybody loves Game of Thrones.
Of course. Which house would you be in?
Oh, God. I feel like I have to say Stark, because they go through so much stuff, and then they hopefully they come out on top.
You could be like the lost Sansa's, like lost Stark sister, maybe.
I very much feel like I am Arya in the world. Like if I had to pick one. And my husband was like, no, you'd be one of the Sand Snake girls.
Oh, no. I mean, Dorne looks like the best place to live. I'm not going to lie. It's warm and like the food is in abundance. Winter's not coming
nice.
To Dorne,
yep.
But anyway, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan too. Let's start over here. Hi.
Hi, my name is Jason. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. Thank you. I'm a huge fan of yours. I got a question, because you're like a huge accepts fan of Chuck Taylor's. What's your favorite Chuck Taylor shoes, and how many you got now?
Oh my gosh. So let me just say, like, wrestling in Chuck Taylor's, not easy. Or safe. Or comfortable. I would have to like pad them on the inside, because there's like, you know, I don't know what I was thinking, but they looked cool. And I wear them every single day of my life. So just like the regular black ones that when they get completely dirty and they look disgusting, those are my absolute favorite.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, my name is Liz and I'm from California. We all want to know about Hellstorm, the movie.
What?
Hellstorm, the movie.
Hellstorm, the movie.
I don't know. I'd like to know as well.
There was a rumor that you were going to star in it.
I mean, we'll see. I don't do like the production stuff, so okay. I don't know. But hey, right. I'm down.
It's a good rumor. If you guys want that cool rumor to come true, yes. you should tweet it out there if
there
you want
go.
That. Yeah.
I love you, AJ.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, AJ. I'm Courtney Sears from Plainfield, Illinois. I love all the TV references in the book, especially the shout-out to Jason and Sam from General Hospital, because they are my favorites.
Mm.
And I have to know, who is your favorite Chopped judge? Because it's super important.
Who's my favorite what?
Chopped judge.
Chopped judge?
Yes.
I am torn between Amanda. Is it the sweet one.
Amanda.
Okay. Is it Amanda? Yes. And Alex just has like the weirdest sayings on earth, and so I love her so much.
Yeah.
I would watch a show, it was just the two of them.
Sounds good.
Thank you. You know, I do want to talk about the illustrations in your book. Let me find a good one to hold up here. Each chapter has this great comic illustration that matches perfectly. I don't know if you guys can see, but it's really well done. Can you tell us a little bit about the artist and how you guys collaborated on those?
Yeah, so my husband's a really big fan of Chew, the comic book, and I stole some, and I started to fall in love with it, and I just noticed that the art was so... they could have the grossest scene, and yet it was drawn with like this kind of childlike beauty and purity. And so I fell in love with the artist. And when I knew I was writing this book, I kind of approached him and I said, please, would you... his name is Rob Guillory. He's here today at G2, so say hi. And I said, please, would you do this for me? And he actually would read each chapter and then like sit on it and draw, you know, whatever he was inspired to draw on. He like some of his drawings made me cry just looking at them.
Well, they're profound, but they're simple, you know, in a way. So did you reject any of his drawings?
Oh no. He would send them and I would be like, "Yep, that's it. Like I don't know how you did that, but that is it."
That is awesome. Yeah. Hi. We'll take your question over here.
Oh. Hi, Hector from Berwyn. I had two quick questions. Your husband writes for Marvel. I was just wondering, which Marvel character would you like to be if you ever had a chance to be? And then the wrestling question is, which wrestling superstar now would you like competing against that's on the current roster?
So if I had to be a Marvel character, I feel like I don't want to take Famke Janssen's role because I thought that she was so perfect as Jean. I liked Sophie Turner also, but I feel like they need to do a... Dark Phoenix saga, do it right. So I would do that. And I would write it too if they wanted it. And
just putting it out there.
Just putting it out there.
Yeah, put it out there, girl.
The girls now, like I have such a special love for Bailey, so I would love to just, you know.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you.
Hunt her adorable face.
That would be good. Are you more, I mean, obviously with your husband writing for Marvel, you know, you maybe have to say Marvel, but are you more Marvel or DC? Which way do you sway?
Well, I've always... He's technically wrote for both, so I'm safe either
way.
but I've always felt like DC was, like... It almost felt, like, unattainable for me. Like, maybe the way that, like, some of the divas felt unattainable for other girls. Like, DC characters always felt, like, so great. Like, drink your milk, kids. And Marvel felt like they were, like, afflicted with their powers. And... it was a bit of a burden, and it's like I always connected to that.
Yeah, Marvel tends to have more flaws.
Yeah.
They're flawed characters, and I definitely agree with that. Hi.
Hi, AJ. My name is Adam, and I'm from Detroit, Michigan. My question is, when you were wrestling, did you prefer babyface or heel?
Ooh. I feel like it was easier for me to be a babyface because I'm... like 7 pounds, and it was more realistic to just get beat up the whole time. So it was like harder to put a match together as a bad guy. Everything had to be dirty because, you know. But it was more fun to be the bad guy. So much more fun.
Well, you get to, you know, put it all out there.
Yes.
You know, and get out the aggressions in life and with social conditioning that you can't express.
Yes.
All of that comes out in the character.
Yes, and just being at, she was so mean, and I loved it.
Thank you. That's a great question. Thank you. Was there ever a storyline that you rejected?
Yeah, I talk about one in the book. I'm sure there's been a few. But there was a point when, like, I think there was, like, the 12th person I was supposed to, like, be in a relationship with, and I was like, no more. No. Please, no more. I'm somebody's daughter. There was a point very early on where when I had just become the crazy character and it was supposed to go a little too, like, goofy, and I thought, okay, crazy can be this dangerous thing. Let's, like, harness that and let's kind of respect it a little bit more. And so we changed course.
Very interesting. Yes, hi.
Hi, I'm Alfred from Chicago. I know you're a big fan of video games, and I think your favorite series is Metal Gear.
Yes.
I'm a huge Metal Gear fan, too. My favorite's 3. I was wondering which one was yours.
Your favorite one is 3? Snake Eater?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I like Snake Eater a lot, but, like, to me... By the way, I just met David Hayter, and I was like, oh, my God. This fangirled out so hard. It's got to be Metal Gear Solid, because to me, at that time in my life, that was, like, the first, like, real RPG I had played, and it was, like, so cinematic, and I feel like it is the... To me, it's, like, the beginning of like, a true, like, cinematic movie-style RPG, and everything else kind of, like, followed that to me. So, yeah, it's got to be the first one. And I was obsessed with Meryl, too, so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great question. Hi.
Hello, AJ.
Hello.
I have two questions for you. The first one, after you cut the promo 4 years ago to all the divas, what happened after that?
Oh, man. I'll put it in the next book. It was fun.
I think it's time for you to start writing the next book.
Oh, we're starting.
Oh, you are starting?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
And also, if you saw The Walking Dead Season 7 premiere, what was you and CM Punk's reaction once you saw Negan beat the crap out of Glenn and Abraham to death?
Well, what was everyone's reaction? I mean, we all kind of knew, at least with one of those characters, if you read the comics, what was going to happen. And with the other character, that was just unfortunate.
Oh, yeah, that
right?
stung.
I mean, I'm
that
trying
stung.
To... I mean, people are caught up on Season 7, right?
Right. Yeah, I don't want to spoiler in case you haven't seen it, but that exact. I know the comics, but still it hurt.
Well, it hurt.
Thank you.
It still hurts.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very much.
It's a fresh wound.
It is. It will always be a wound. Hi.
Hi. Hi, AJ. My name is Celso, and I'm from Chicago, Illinois. Huge fan of you and CM Punk. Definitely miss you guys and presence in the ring. I guess question number one, what do you miss the most about being in the ring?
That's interesting. What do you miss? Or are there things... was it the right time to step away for a while? And I guess the extension of that question is, will there ever be a time which you would revisit, not necessarily WWE, but any sort of, you know, sports professional?
So we would call ourselves, like, professional waiters because you travel. You wake up at, like, at 4 in the morning. You travel for 4 hours. Like, you fly for 4 hours. You drive 300 miles a night every night. You wait in the arena for like 10 hours, and then you have your 10 minutes on screen, and then those 10 minutes, I miss that. Because everything else is such a grind, and it's so hard, but you're like alive, you know, for those 10 minutes, and there's nothing quite like that. So I do miss that, like adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
And I've learned to say never, never say never. So I always say, not right now, but who knows?
And then, sorry.
Yeah, no,
question
go ahead.
Number two, I wanted to ask, after seeing CM Punk after his first fight in the UFC, what was your response or, I guess after that, you know, how did you respond?
Gosh, I was so impressed by how, like, he was just like, well, let's do it again. Like, literally, like, right away.
Yeah.
He's my goddamn hero. Like, to me, that is the coolest thing in the world. And I'm someone who... has had the world tell them no 100 times. And so if he's like, okay, I'd like to be president, the standard has been set that that's possible. And so...
We're not going to go there.
I'd vote.
And so, like, I know that he can do anything in the world, and I will never discourage someone from pursuing their dreams. And so I was just, you know, so proud. It's scary, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge... People make the incorrect assumption that, oh, well, if you've done A, you can do B. No, it's a completely different sport, completely different training regime and skill set. And do you ever train with him? That's what I want to know.
Oh, God. No. He wants me to. He's always like, come to the gym. And, like, I love when he can have his own world. It's like, I don't want to, like, infiltrate your world. Like, enjoy that. But if the girls are so cool, I'd be so afraid of them.
What you say next time is, I'm a writer now.
Yes. I sit behind a desk now.
Yeah. Now I'm writing. Hi.
Hi. My name is Larissa. I'm from New Jersey.
Jersey?
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
There you go.
So my question to you is, you worked so hard to get to where you were in WWE that you left on such a high note. Was it hard for you backstage to deal with the women?
To what?
To deal with the women as you left.
No. To me, I feel like you either go out on top or you go out on the way down. And that's always a little sad. And so it's hard to be like, oh, everything's going really well and the locker room's fun. And, you know, how do you walk away from something when it's good? But it's easier when you know the alternative is to, like, just kicked out, or you guys don't want to see me anymore, or, you know. So it's always good to leave people wanting more.
Is it sad to leave your passion? Because that's something, like you said, from childhood you wanted to accomplish. So
I think as humans we have to keep growing. And when you accomplish everything that you wanted to do in something, you've completed it. And so do you want to stay safe and say, you know, let me just hang on to this forever? Or do you want to grow? And I have so many things. Like, writing a book was such a passion of mine as well. So to me, it's just never stop wanting things. Never stop dreaming bigger, for sure.
Okay, and by the way, a match between you and Charlotte would be really good.
Yeah.
She's pretty cool.
That's a good point. Now you've checked the book off your list.
Yes.
What's next?
Oh, gosh. There's book two.
Well, yes, we know book two is happening.
Working on that and working on a bunch of different writing projects. I fell in love with it while doing it. I didn't know I could do it, and now I just don't want to stop.
Will they all be books, or are we talking about films that you may be writing? Or
there's a bunch of different mediums. Like, there will be more books, and then there will be more, like, fiction.
Ooh, I'm excited too. Yes, hi.
Hi, I'm Ismail from Cicero, and I was wondering if you had like one message to send across to people, what would it be?
One message to send to people?
Yeah, like overall.
I think right now, like, my mission in life is to get people to, for me, it's crazy. I'm embracing my crazy. And so it's on it's the title of my book, Crazy is My Superpower. It might not be that for everybody. If it is mental health that you are struggling with, I hope that people can learn to embrace it and find the strength in that, find that you're just seeing the world in different colors and there's a special gift to that. But it might be something else. It might be whatever else the world is telling you to be ashamed of or to feel like is your flaw. It might be, for me, it's been, you know, you were saying before, a million things, short, poor, whatever. So my message to everyone is to take that, own it, and make it your strength.
And that's what makes you unique as a person, you know? Yeah. And that's whatever, you know, that's the message, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the thing that's going to make you the most special, for sure.
Thank you. I love you.
Oh,
thank you. Hi.
Hi, AJ. I'm Jocelyn. I'm from San Antonio, Texas. I saw you last week in Austin. You were very nice.
Thank you.
You're super nice here, too. Anyways, so my question is music-related. So what kind of music would you listen to get into the wrestling headspace? Or, like, what kind of music did you find inspiring?
Ooh.
Or continue to?
I was always kind of like a movie soundtrack nerd. So if, like, there was, like, a cool song that, like, was in the movie and was, like, very inspiring while on, or, like, on a TV show or something, like, that, I needed to have, like, a visual. And so there were a bunch of, like, soundtracks, like, on my iPod. Now my favorite is Metric.
Oh, yeah.
I'm obsessed with them, and, like, when I work out, that's pretty much all I listen to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Music can be so inspiring. Yes. I agree. Music that is from often in a motion picture, you know, you associate the storyline there. Is there a defining movie from your childhood that you sort of can pinpoint?
Ooh, good question. God, this is like not the deepest answer.
That's okay. No judgment.
Mortal Kombat?
It's a good movie.
I still have it on DVD. It to me, like, I was so obsessed with the arcade game, and then we got it on our, I think it was like, it must have been like Sega or something at the time. And just to see that be like real, like, I thought I was a ninja. Like, I thought I was Princess Katana. And then in a match, I dressed like her, and I tried to do the fan lift, and it did not work. And it broke my heart. But yes, that like formed me as a kid.
That's funny. That's good, though. Hi.
Hi, my name is Haley, and I'm from Wisconsin. And what was your best wrestler you ever wrestled?
Ooh, did you have a best match or a favorite match? Yeah.
Yeah, I think my favorite match was at Payback against Caitlin. I loved it so much, it's tattooed on the back of my neck. And, like, not only do I feel like the match, like, it felt like a perfect match, which is, like, some people go their whole careers and don't feel like they had the perfect match. So that felt really cool. But also, I felt like I had worked 14 years for that, just that one moment. And that's a weird feeling to work your whole life and then, whoop, it happened. So I put it on me forever to remember.
That's awesome. Do you have a favorite match that AJ wrestled in?
All of them.
That's a good answer. Thank you, sweetie. Thank you so much. Hi.
Hi. My name is Jason, and I'm from Chicago. And I actually have some writing projects I'm working on myself. And I was just wondering how you kind of balance, you know, getting your book together and all your ideas with everything else you had going on in life in general. Because, you know, sometimes when you're working or trying to get your ideas together, it kind of just piles up and it gets harder to do based on what you're doing.
Yeah, for a new writer, how did you find your process and carve out the time in the day needed to accomplish this?
Oh, gosh. So it's, like, the hardest thing I've ever done. Like, A, because it was, like, super emotional, but also because, like, I didn't graduate college. Like, I didn't know how to do this. I had written a lot growing up as an escape, and so it always felt like this, like, strength of mine that I could use if I tried. And so, honestly, like, the best advice I've ever gotten and I can ever give is to just sit and force yourself to sit at the computer for at least an hour and force yourself to write. Because even if it's garbage, just throw it out the next day. Like, you don't know what's going to, like, what muse is going to go through you and what's going to come out of you. And if you're not at the computer, you don't have a chance to put it out there. So I would literally, it was probably a year of just, like, 6 to 8 hour days just sitting and just, oh, God, oh, this is awful. And then something beautiful came out of it. So force yourself.
Sit down at the computer and write.
Cool.
It's a simple answer, really. Let's go back for a second and talk. You talked about the perfect match and the moment that you sort of had spent 14 years working towards. Talk us through sort of the behind-the-scenes choreography and discussion with the other wrestlers and how you guys decide how you're going to execute the match.
So I always say, like, wrestling is like the love child of Cirque du Soleil and SNL, because it is this, like, dance, and you have to know what you're doing, and it has to be, you know, there have to be parts that are choreographed. I'm sorry if I just broke the news to you, the cute little one.
I think they're okay with it.
Okay. Talk to her later. Santa, too. We'll talk about it. But so there has to be this element of it looks like I'm murdering you, but, like, 30 times in this match, I'm going to literally save your life. And so that is such an art form. And then there is this, like, maybe the crowd is not feeling it, and we need to fix this on the fly, and we need to talk to each other and get on the same page, and we're surrounded on every side by thousands of people, so how do we have this conversation? So that's another part of it, is, like, how do we talk and nobody sees it?
And how do you do that?
Oh, gosh. There's so many tricks. Just, like, little things, like, if you're moving someone and they're right next to you, and as you're pushing them past you, you say something, there's a shortened, like, an abbreviated language we have. It helps if you're working with, like, for me, my favorite match, with my best friend, because you just know each other. And, you know, like, there was a point in that match where we were supposed to go home, like, 10 minutes early, and I remember I was picking her up for a neck breaker. So if you rewatch the match, look for the neck breaker. And I'm just like, we're supposed to go home. You want to just keep going? And she's like, yep, okay. And then neck breaker. And so it's, you need a partner that, you know, wants to make you look good, wants to keep you safe. And you have to support each other, and it works so good with friends.
That's so amazing to hear. I mean, I love that. It's like a dance.
Yes.
You did sustain an injury.
Yeah.
A bad injury.
A few.
Yeah.
You'll have to be more specific.
Yeah. Well, didn't you have a cervical?
Yeah. As I put in the book, you know, I have this like, you know, permanent. Sometimes my hands just do this. But yeah. So I've hurt my neck. My doctors were like, "Were you in a car accident?"
Like kind of a very long.
Yes. A 7-year car accident. I've dislocated both kneecaps. I've my tooth went through my face. Look, a bunch of concussions. Lots of fun. It's not like, you know, people are like, "Oh, wrestling's fake," and it's like, "I will show you how fake it is."
Yeah, no, it's not. It's and yet through all these injuries, it was still worth it, and it's worth it to everyone in the industry. It just, you know, kind of shows how much fun it can be.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, we're a different breed. You know, we're like, "Oh, you don't need surgery? It's fine." So it's, you know, we're a tougher breed, I think, and a little bit crazier. But it's definitely, you know, for me, I survived, and I still have all of my health. So that's good.
Yeah, that is good. Hi.
Hi, my name's Anthony. I'm from Milwaukee. And my question is, what was your favorite storyline in your WWE career?
I loved doing the Secret Admirer promo. That's like my favorite moment of all time because we got to like write the whole thing ourselves. I loved everything I got to do with Vicky.
Oh,
that was
yes.
So much fun. That was like such a good foil.
Yes.
Like if you're going to be a good guy, like have the best bad guy on the other side, you know? Oh, that was awesome. So Vicky, probably. Yep.
Did you have a favorite?
Yeah. To be honest, it was most of the, when you were unfortunately going around and being, you know, pretty much girlfriends with everybody.
When I was, like, in an unrequited love square?
Yeah, pretty much. My favorite
You went there.
Yep. My favorite one was the Kane one.
Yeah. Kane?
Yes, Kane.
Okay, then. Thank you.
This poster was above my bed when I was 13.
You know, it's got to be Kane.
Thank you. Hi. Yeah, you can go. You're on.
Yeah, my name's Ben. I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan, north of. My daughter's huge fan of yours. I'm a big fan of yours and your husband's. Do you have any advice for any, you know, girls that want to become women wrestlers and maybe a good wrestling school for women wrestlers? I know that, you know, between women and men, you know, it's a little bit different, but not too much.
Right. So I don't know, like, specific schools. I just got really lucky, and there was one, like, a mile from me when I was 18, 19.
That is, like, so lucky, because
yeah.
Where are wrestling schools?
Exactly.
I mean,
they're basically wherever somebody has a ring and is like, "Give me money, and you shall bump." And so I lucked out. So I don't know. I would say do your research. Know where you're going. Hopefully there's someone there that has some sort of credible experience. A lot of ex-wrestlers, like, will start school. And, like, those are probably the best. Like, people who have been on TV and on WWE and know the particular WWE formula, if that's what she wants to do, go for that. And I'd say it's, you know, for me, I trained with just guys. And that ended up being the best thing for me because I took all, you know, my bumps at the hardest at the beginning. And then, you know, later I knew how to work with all the girls because I had been beaten up so much earlier.
Can I ask another question?
Yes.
What do you think about the intergender matches, and should they do more of those?
That's interesting.
So I understand why they stopped them. The company became PG, and you just, like, guys hitting girls or something, like, nauseating about that. There's something fun about chicks beating the crap out of guys. I think there's a way where when you have an athlete and, you know, everyone's an athlete in the ring, there's a way for it there to be kind of some fun competition. And it would be hard to do those matches, and it's like the guy can't even, you know, can't even block a slap. You know, when you, like, that was a little harder. I understand both sides to, like, being queasy about it and, like, being like, "Let's do this. We're strong enough to do it." I was lucky enough to beat up so many guys, so I just got lucky.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So
you know, I've just been hearing wrestling school and I've just accepted that. But now that I'm thinking about it, what is wrestling school like?
Oh my God. There's tests.
What kind of tests? I need to know the details here, AJ.
It's basically you, it really can be, sometimes it's really shady, sometimes it's legitimate, but anyone can really just, if they have a ring and they spent the money on a ring and they have the space, they can just charge you money and they teach you the basics. And for me, you have to learn I had to learn how to bump, which is the, you know, when you fall on your back and you don't break your neck. And I had to do that like maybe 200 to 400 times the first 2 days. And got pneumonia, and my body was like, oh, you're too weak for this. And I said, no, body, I refuse. And so it's basically just learning the absolute basics. And then from there, you go to, like, the indies. It's like the independent circuit.
Okay, so go over the basics. What are the bumping?
You bump, which is falling on your back and protecting your neck and your spine and your hips and falling and making the loudest sound you can while keeping yourself safe. Mm-hmm. Chain wrestling. Just very, you know, arm drags and hip tosses and things that, like, if you knew absolutely nothing, you knew five things, you could still have a match.
Got it.
Yeah.
And then you evolved. And then, yeah. Then the next, you know, like, when you were a sophomore, you yeah. learned you learned the harder things.
Yeah, exactly. And it starts getting trickier and trickier, and then you just start trying it in, like, small little independent shows.
So you're in wrestling school. Describe your first time in, you know, a match.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so my first match, and I'm sure it's on video somewhere. I didn't like I said, there's so much like improv that needs to happen, and when you're brand new, you don't understand that, and you're just like, this is what we plan, this is what we're doing. And so like all I can remember is it was like a tag match, and I was supposed to like hit the ropes, and somebody was supposed to grab my hair and like bump me, and I hit the ropes, and the guy wasn't there, and I just like stumbled, and then I just went. And, like, went right back to the rope. Like, why was I walking back to the rope again? Like, it made absolutely no sense. I was just like, our spot is right here. We're going to try that again, like, in front of everybody. And it was so awkward and so bad. And probably, like, the first, like, 3 years of my career were just very bad.
I don't think anyone noticed. I think people loved it. Yes, hi.
Hey, so I've got a question, but I wanted to say an opinion about the intergender wrestling thing. I mean, I kind of think that a lot of what it is with WWE is just their character as a company. And, like, if you see stuff like Heidi Lovelace versus, like, Eric Cannon or something like that in Chikara or whatever, the audience knows that that's going to happen. And I feel like WWE just kind of needs to get over it. And but that's just my opinion. But my question was, you were in your Love Square thing around the same time that John Cena called Eve a hosky, and then suddenly she was gone for just kissing Zack Ryder. And I was kind of wondering, what were you doing different when you were hanging out with multiple guys and it never turned out feeling shaming or anything like that? Or was there anything backstage or with your character in specific?
Right. It's important to use the word character because Eve was not actually dating Zack Ryder. I think the difference really is just having the face of the company say a word and everyone's like, oh, this is the fun thing to chant. That is really just the difference. And in our approach, it was you have this kind of squeaky clean, innocent, crazy chick that's just like, please love me, and nobody loves her. And so it's just a different take where you're not, you know, making it more salacious. So it's really just the tone that you give it and where your leaders take it, the audience will follow.
It also kind of felt like your character didn't care that if anybody was going to shame her, that she didn't care, and that was part of the reason why it was accepted. That's yeah. What I feel.
Thank you. She definitely didn't give a damn what anyone thought at any point, nor do I.
And that was the appeal, and that is the appeal. Thank you. That's a great question. Thank you. Hi there, sweetie.
This is Alila. She's super nervous to talk to you.
Oh.
But you've been her favorite since she started watching when she was four. So she wanted to know what your least favorite match was.
What my favorite match was?
Your least favorite.
My least favorite.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Oh, man. There is a match that we would, me and Natty would joke about
like anytime we were nervous, we were like, it can't be worse than that. And there's some, I can't remember where it was, but there was something where we literally, this like, we got thrown into this, they were like, girls, just put the Santa outfits on, go, go, go. And it was like, we were all just wearing like Santa's little helper outfits. And it was, I don't know what happened. It's like somebody had one idea and then no one else had the same idea. And so we're like literally all of us in the ring, like dying laughing. Like, oh my God, this is live television. Like it was the funniest, scariest moment of my life. And like we got to the back and like me and Natty could not stop laughing. Like for like 6 years, like that was our one joke, was like, it can't be worse than the Santa match. So probably that.
And you were in the Santa costumes.
Yeah, and we're wearing like, Santa costumes.
Everything sounds so wrong about that.
Oh God. Thank you.
Do you have a favorite match of AJ's, sweetie?
You can talk. Are you going to tell her to rise?
Can you just, I'll take a hi. I will take a hello.
Hello.
Oh, I got a wave. I'll take it.
Good job. Well, I hope you enjoy your weekend. Thank you. Hi.
Hi. This is kind of a weird question. Is there anywhere here at the convention that we can get your book or buy it somewhere here or no?
Is there what?
Okay, where can they pick up a copy of Crazy is My Superpower? Girl, this is, you know, let's talk about this.
Oh, well.
It's funny you asked.
Actually, I think I have one more signing. I could be wrong, but I think I do.
5:30? Thank you.
At 5:30.
Can we buy it, though?
Yeah, the books are there, and I'll sign them. And
awesome.
Yeah. So please come back. Yeah.
Thank you.
And then where do you go next on your book tour?
Winnetka. I think, Illinois, okay. And then I am done. It's been like 3 weeks of kind of traveling the country and seeing all you guys again, and it's been like 2 years, and so it's been like our reunion tour. So yes, we're wrapping up soon.
Oh my gosh, well everybody pick up a copy and let's get it up from number 10 to number 1.
Woo!
On the nonfiction list. Did you also have a question?
No, that was it.
That was your question.
Say thank you.
What is your favorite thing about coming to an event like C2E2 or, you know, a gathering of like-minded geeks and nerds and fans in general?
Oh, my gosh. It really is just, like, having those, like, full circle, like, moments of, like, I used to be, like, the kid getting in line and, like, people always, like, do, like, this cute little, like, meme of, like, me meeting Lita and I'm, like, 14 and I'm just, oh, my God. And then they'll, like, then it's, like, me with, like, this, like, 14-year-old girl and it's, like, how did I do that? Like, I don't know how, but it happened. And then you just hope that, like, that little girl becomes the next one. And they pay it forward and pays it forward. And, like, that to me is the coolest thing is that, like, I know those little girls who are like, I'm going to be a wrestler one day. Like, I believe them because I meant it. So that's the coolest moment for me.
And what are some of the, can you share maybe one or two stories? You know, you often hear, like, people connect to public figures, celebrities, and it really has a profound impact on their lives. So I imagine you've heard over the years a couple, you know, people come up and say, you did this, you did this, you meant that to me. Can you share a little bit of what those stories are?
Oh, gosh. Especially lately, I've had a few people, one person really made me cry, tell me that reading the book has inspired them to start going to therapy. And, like, that's all I could ever want in my entire life is to even just convince one person to go, okay, it's okay to take care of my mental health, and it's okay to, it doesn't make me weaker, it makes me stronger to say, here's a problem, I'm going to fix it. It takes so much balls to do that, and to have, in any way, have inspired people to do that, I feel like, oh, I served my purpose in life. So that's really the coolest thing in the world to me.
And your life is not even halfway over, so there's so much more inspiration to take place. Have you guys enjoyed this hour?
Yeah?
Yeah? I'm so grateful. Everyone, go down, pick up a copy of the book, and let's give one more big round of applause for AJ Mendez.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.